And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on Missionary Radio on this Monday morning, 17th day, President's Day. And we have Joe Barner and, of course, Brother David Tucker in with us this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. We are present.
You are present, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not president, but we're present.
Well, that's good.
It's a start.
That's a good thing.
That's right. It's a good Monday.
Have you enjoyed all the rain and the snow?
Enjoyed a strong term. That's a strong term. We did say last week we need to see God in all creation, right?
That's true, true.
True.
Very true.
I was seeing the strength of God, the power of God, maybe a little bit of the anger of God.
Yeah, a little bit of all. Yeah.
I think rather than enjoyed, it would be endured.
There you go.
Endured. Some people enjoy storms and, you know, and all that stuff. I know my wife was watching, I think, David Powell do his rundown, you know, on the tornadoes, you know, movement was coming through and all this stuff, too. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I think, what was it? I think it was, I was trying to think, was it between, Caldwell and Hopkins County, they had a rock slide.
Really?
On the highway. So,
oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, that happened, I think, on Saturday. So, yeah, on I-69. So, yeah, so just a number of things going on around here. So
It is amazing when the weather cuts loose and we realize, okay, we're really not in charge.
Very
true. You hunker down and you hold on.
Yeah.
And it's quite a thing to kind of walk your way through.
Oh, it
but
is.
I was telling Brian coming in, we had to cancel services yesterday because I was worried about the flooding plus the snow.
Yeah.
So if somebody slid off the road into a flooded area, then you got double the danger.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually did cancel our services yesterday. But on my way in to check the church, it's about 5:45 in the morning. There's flashing lights, and I thought, oh, my goodness, there are trucks that are sliding on the road. No, it wasn't trucks. It was the Amish. They had their buggies out.
Okay.
And as you go by, you can see the snow on top of the hats that they're wearing that's been collecting. Yeah. And they had umbrellas and blankets, and they were trotting on into church.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
that's dedication.
Well, you know, some people are focused.
Uh-huh.
But, sometimes with the weather, you wonder, how do you handle that? Well, you hunker down.
That's it.
Unless you're Amish.
Amish, and you just keep going.
And they're in the buggies with the umbrellas because they're not married. They can't be in my understanding is you can't get into the carriage until you're married. Husbands and wives get to be in the carriages, and those who are courting, they're in the buggies.
They have to be out in the open so
people
can see
them. Those were the youngsters that were out.
I got
you. So first comes marriage, and then comes the couple in the Amish carriage.
That's right.
I love it. Oh, just Joe. Joe would have to come up with that. That's great.
Well, yeah, that's just fantastic. But anyway, I just thought, you know, for love of God and each other, they're out there. And I thought that was pretty amazing. Today, we're actually going to continue our study in Genesis. We're not doing Noah, surprisingly. we're going to continue our study in Genesis.
Everyone needs a copy of God's Word, but not all do. Here's Pastor Mark Vaughn of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton.
Listen to this. 1 billion people around the world wants a copy of God's Word, but do not have one. So we collect Bibles any shape they're in. Doesn't matter how bad they are, how torn, they can have pages out of them. They can just be just one page of the Bible. And that'll be more Bible than many folks have who just have one page. And so we'll take anything that you have that you're not being used.
You can buy Bibles and send them around the world through love packages.
At $2 a copy, that's still very, very cheap. And they come in a case of 40. So for $80, you can buy a case of Bibles. We order them from different places. They'll be shipped directly to love packages. Got a check, Cedar Bluff Baptist Church. And in the memo, please put Bible Drive. And you can mail that to P.O. Box 105, Princeton, Kentucky, 42445.
You can also drop your Bibles by the station, 1100 East 18th Street in Hopkinsville.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on this Monday morning.
Well, good morning. We are doing a study in Genesis. And last week we began with Genesis 1:1, and that's as far as we got.
We were really moving.
We were really, really flying.
There is a lot there.
There is a lot there. And so today, Joe, if you would you read Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? I just want us to jump forward.
You don't want to overwork me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
Mm. So in that very, very simple thing, there's a whole lot that's going on, and we discussed a lot of it yesterday. Not yesterday. It feels like yesterday. We talked about it last week. But the thing we're going to discuss today, and as we move forward in the chapter, is the creation process of God. So the first thing we're going to discuss is actually a little rabbit. It has very little to do with anything of great importance. However, some people believe that there's a huge gap between verses 1 and 2. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The gap theory.
The gap theory. And so one of the things we want to make sure we state is that it's a theory. It's not theology. It's just a theory. It's the brainchild of folks who have read the scriptures and said, well, where did that happen? And when did that happen? And I need to understand that. So they come up with a theory on maybe this is how it took place. So
and sometimes I think that's to ease the discrepancy between people who call us a young earth, just
right.
Thousands of years, and then there are folks that, well, the fossil record says
right.
There's millions of years there.
Exactly.
So if you put a gap in there.
There you go. Then you get to have millions.
Yeah.
So, but it's not just that. It's the idea that there's basically three scriptures. One's in Ezekiel, one's in Isaiah, and one's in Revelation, where it talks about the fall of Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And the question that's raised is, so when did he fall? And where did he fall from? And so on. Well, in Ezekiel and Isaiah, you find that he falls from his exalted place as the chief archangel. In Revelation, he is considered the dragon, and he falls from the heavens, and as he falls from the heavens, he sweeps a third of the stars from the sky, meaning the angels from the heavens. And so...
Now, does Genesis record the creation of the angels?
No. Not to my knowledge.
I didn't think
either. You're a good Bible scholar. I thought, if you got one, I want to hear that.
No.
I'm excited now. No, I've never read that. I've never read the creation of the angels. What we do know is from John chapter 1 and Colossians 1 is that Christ is there in the creation moment. And so we know that he is not an angel because he is not a created being.
Yeah.
And again, what we have is we have three scriptures, one in Jeremiah or Isaiah, one in Ezekiel, and one in Revelation, that speak to Satan and the angels and their fall. It doesn't speak to their start. But then the question becomes, well, when did they fall? Because Satan appears in the Garden of Eden already a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
He's still beautiful, but he's a fallen angel. He's doing the devil's work, as it were.
Sure.
So the idea is, the theory is, and it's just a theory, that between verses 1 and verses 2, there's a gap of maybe it's millions of years, maybe it's a decade. Nobody states it.
Mm-hmm.
We just are saying, hey, maybe there's a gap there. And in that gap, that's when the war of heaven occurs. So if you read verses 1 and 2 again, Joe, I want you to read it this way. Read it as the creation of the world first time and the creation of the world the second time. So try it that way. Just read the two verses.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Done. So it was done. Everything was completed. There was a full earth. There was a full heaven. All of creation was ready.
Ready at one time.
And all it was all set.
Okay.
All of what we're about to read in verses 2 and on, that's already done. However, Satan falls and the world is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Now go on to verse 2.
Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
So the concept there, again, leaves us with that picture of a desolate no man's land after a war.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the theory has come about. And again, I keep pounding that word theory. I want to be very, very clear. We preach what's in the Scripture, and we preach what's in the Scripture clearly.
Mm-hmm.
This is not clearly. This is us saying, hey, maybe we can squeeze a whole war in between two verses because
sure.
there's nothing there. There's a philosophical argumentation called the argument from silence. And the argument from silence says you can't prove it isn't and you can't prove it is. Because of the silence, you can't actually prove it at all. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have. Now, is it important that we know whether or not there's a gap there? Actually, no, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not unless you're trying to use the Bible as a biology book, which some want to do, and that's fine. Not unless you're trying to use the Bible to prove scientific theorem, which some want to do, and that's fine. But for my purposes, the Bible is there for salvation. The goal of the Bible is salvation. And so I don't major on the minors. I don't get caught up in the weeds.
Okay, so let me ask a question. I've heard this said, you know, and I've, that one day is like 1,000 years.
Correct.
To the Lord.
Sure. Time has no meaning because it's a construct that he created.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I was wanting to throw in. I mean, we was talking about that difference, you know, between mm-hmm. the verses or there, you know, and stuff. So if he has no time, so it could have been a lot of time in between. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah.
We don't know. But like you said, what matters? It really doesn't matter.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
really, truly doesn't matter.
So the folks who really focus on this, they say that, you know, every word of the Scripture has to be absolutely true, which, by the way, I believe.
Absolutely.
But they feel like if it's not provably true, then somehow the Bible is going to be false.
Yeah.
No, because the Bible doesn't prove God exists. Mm-hmm. It simply says God exists.
Sure.
And we have the Bible, which shows us his revelation of himself to us. But God doesn't say, hey, you know, hey, notice me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I won't exist if you don't believe.
Yeah.
He exists.
Sure.
So, again, I think it's important to remember why you're reading the Scripture. You're reading the Scripture because you want to grow in your relationship with God mm-hmm. and you want to understand the salvation that Christ has offered. And everything in the Scripture, all things within the Scripture, indicate who God is and who Christ is and what he's done for us. And once you move past that point and you're trying to, you're wanting to do the Daniel diet because you think that eating vegetables and things are going to make you, you know, a healthier person.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
True.
But the Daniel diet wasn't there to prove to us how to eat right. The Daniel diet was there to prove that Daniel had faith in God and was willing to step out in obedience
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal of the passage. So it's real important when you read a passage, know what it is you're aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
And the gap theory is a lot of fun to talk about, you know, and I've heard at seminary, I mean, they would go ad nauseum over this stuff, you know, and they would go on and on. But ultimately, what does it do? Nothing.
Mm-mm.
We know Satan fell. We know demons went with him, and we know they're against Jesus, and Jesus defeated them.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, I don't need to know.
Mm-mm.
I'm good. And so there may be a gap. There may be no gap at all. But what we do know is that there is a real devil, and there are real demons, and at some point they fell. And if that's where it happened, okay. If that's not where it happened, okay. Okay. We're all right. So verses 1 and 2 may be a creation and a recreation, or verses 1 and 2 may be just the creation. The scripture doesn't tell us. It simply writes it as it is. Moses records it as he was told. And when we get back, we're going to talk about the fact that what God does is he creates the environment and then the beings, the form and then the filling, as he creates our place in which we walk and live and breathe. But first, we're going to hear from some great folks who have been a support to this station and always give an encouraging word. Let's hear from Pitiful Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Lewisburg, may God continue to bless. Thanks for all you do and have done over these many years. From Clarksville, "I cannot imagine with life without Missionary Radio. All glory to Jesus." From a Big Rock listener, "Thank you for your time and energy to spread the word." From Elkton, "I'm so thankful for Missionary Radio for our area. Thank you so much."
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Well, we are in Genesis, but again, we're not talking about Noah today. We are talking about the creation of the world. And we started by talking about verses 1 and 2, and then basically in verses 3 all the way down through, honestly, the end of the chapter, there's two things going to happen. And that is, God's going to create the form, and then he's going to create a filling. And I take that from the great preacher Warren Wiersbe, I dearly love. I just love reading his commentaries. And this is a small rabbit, but I want to chase it just a second. The commentary that I've got is from another pastor who has now retired and, of course, is actually homebound now. Super guy. His name's Don Cartwright. Love him to death. And when he was really finishing up his preaching side of the ministry, I don't think he ever quit ministry, but I think his preaching side of the ministry was winding down. He'd called me and said, "Hey, would you like to come over and look through my books and so on?" And so I've had several preachers that have done that for me over the years. And I've gotten to a place where I don't need just more books on the shelves, but I do need that touch of the heritage of which I get to be a part of. And so when I went over, he had several basically kind of folder commentaries from Warren Wiersbe. And that was good. I like Warren Wiersbe. But what was really good was that he had gone through it and he had marked them all up.
Huh.
You could flip the pages and see his notes. And I said, "I'll take these." You know, he had other textbooks and things like that. And I have all that I need. But when I get to take something that's handwritten from another pastor who's labored in the fields and seen souls saved, and actually in this particular one, it has a picture of Don in, I'm going to say he's probably in his 50s or 60s at that point, more like 50s, and got his suit on, and clearly it was the shot that he probably sent to churches when he was doing revivals and things like that. But it's just paperclipped inside the folder.
Yeah.
And so I love being able to open those up and read the commentary, but more than the commentary, looking at what another pastor has prayed over, studied over, looked over, and realized that his hands have have run these lines. Mm-hmm. That is, I don't know, that's a really special thing from one pastor to another.
I had, I was witness to an encounter between Brother Don Cartwright and Billy Russell.
Oh, my.
And you remember Billy Russell would ask somebody how they were doing. Uh-huh. If they said they were good.
That's right.
Billy would always say, no, none are good but God alone.
That's right.
And he said that one time to Brother Don Cartwright, who came right back with, yes, but by the grace of God, I'm righteous in his sight. And Billy said, well, I have to agree with you on that.
I tell you, it's just, there's, well, I was doing a sermon Sunday, doing an installation service, which I've never done before, but it's for a young minister who's starting his pastorate at a church. And one of the things that we talked about in the service and in the sermon is you stand on the shoulders of those who have been before you. Mm-hmm. There have been other shepherds who have come before. There'll be other shepherds that come after.
Yeah.
And that's who I am. I know that I'm nothing special. I'm a cog in a wheel. But I get to be the cog. And mm-hmm. so, praise God, he allows me that opportunity. And when I get things like those books from Don Cartwright, or the preaching tapes from Billy T. Russell,
yeah,
or I've got some stuff from Jerry Barron, where he has signed when he finished reading the book. Mm-hmm. You know, those I hang on to because those have real power and meaning to me. I can buy a textbook, but I can't buy that. And mm-hmm. so as a pastor, I think you need to remember your heritage. Now, I have veered strongly from the course.
Well, we were down a rabbit trail. Our manager here rabbit. Loves to hunt rabbits,
that's
so
true.
It's okay.
That's all right,
true.
Yeah.
Well, that one now slain, let's get back into our scripture. And so, Joe, if you would you pick up there in verse 3 of Genesis 1, and would you read it? I'm looking at Revelation 21, sorry. Hang on, let me get where you are. Would you read it down through verse 13, please?
And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And so God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear, and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
So when we get into the passage, we use the phrase evening and morning, and a lot of people say, well, then that makes it a 24-hour period. Other people, again, say a day is like 1,000 years unto the Lord, and so on and so forth, and we argue over the concepts of time. I don't want to begin to even go down that trail. Mm-hmm. What I want to do is take note of what God does is he creates the form, or remember it says the earth was formless. Mm-hmm. So he creates the form, and that means the environment, the backdrop. So you guys know I love going down to Disney World, and I loved Disney growing up. I loved Walt Disney mm-hmm. stuff. I could only see it when I was sick on a Sunday because it was always Sunday night, and we always had church. But when I was sick on a Sunday, I got to watch the Walt Disney World of Color, I think it was called. Anyways, I love Walt Disney animation. I like to draw, and I used to do a lot of animation, and I love Walt Disney. Well, one of the things that in Walt Disney World, they have the actual camera that they used for like Snow White, which was at the time earth-shattering. I mean, brand new technology. And what it was is they made backdrops on cellophanes or solenoids, and those would be placed in the back. behind things. It was on a clear piece of plastic cellophane, and they would paint the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would make multiple pieces of that, and they would create layers of backdrop. And what they had is a camera that was almost as tall as a one-story building, and they would shoot the camera down through all the cellophane so that backdrop could stay and they could move the characters in front.
Mm-hmm.
So your backdrop would hold. Well, remember, they're making characters like dwarves and dragons and so on. They have to have the right backdrop to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop Winnie the Pooh into the submarine for Captain Nemo. You're just not going to do that, okay? If you see Winnie the Pooh, he's in the Hundred Acre Wood. That's where he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you create the backdrop for the character to be then drawn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What God is doing is he's creating the backdrop on which the characters will now be drawn.
Mm-hmm.
He's the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that he is creating the canvas on which we will be painted. And to make that abundantly clear, one of the things that I love about this passage is that in the front end of it, he says he creates light and darkness, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he has not created sun.
And moon.
And moon. So we have light, but we have no source. We have light, but we have no entity to create light.
Mm-hmm.
We simply have light. Now, physically, we understand that light emanates from the sun. We understand that light emanates from reactions, chemical reactions,
mm-hmm.
and light is emitted. But that's not how God works. God doesn't need that. He's just creating the concept of light. Why? Because mm-hmm. that's the backdrop on which he's going to place the sun. And you say, well, you can't have light without a sun. Oh, yes, you can. Because if you go from Genesis 1 to the end of the book, to Revelation 21, you'll read there that I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb of God are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on the city, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that God's presence creates light, the fact that God's presence emits light, the fact that God simply says, light is, that's all that's needed. When we say, oh, no, light has to travel from the point of emanation, where it begins, to the point where it's received.
Mm-hmm.
No. You're working in a reality that God created. And if God wants to bend light and he wants light to circle, he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
He can do anything he wants to. So in these first verses, it's real important, and don't miss the truth. God's preparing all the things that will be needed for the ones he'll put in where they're at. So we're going to get back and we'll finish this up. I encourage you, check in with us, because we're going to be talking about how God has prepared a place for you as well. But first, let's hear from Johnny Erickson Tata.
Have you ever brushed your teeth and thought, didn't I just do this? Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata, and I just said that last evening to my friend who helps me get ready for bed. She was brushing my teeth and I thought, man, didn't I just do this? Like this morning? You know how it is. Regular routines can feel so daily, so repetitive. The minute you open your eyes in the morning, you can feel yourself shifting into routine. Turn off the alarm, fling back covers, put feet in slippers, turn on shower, squeeze toothpaste onto brush. Like I said, it's also daily, and I get it. I wake up every morning to the exact same series of routines. A friend comes into the bedroom, turns on the tap, heads for the kitchen, pours coffee, comes back, begins to put my legs through range of motion exercises. After that, it's a bath, get dressed, get lifted into my wheelchair. Oh, me with quadriplegia? It's been 57 years of virtually that exact same regimen. I remember decades ago when I was first injured. Oh, I would groan about the disability stuff that I had to go through every morning, noon, and night, day in and day out. Then I met another wheelchair user. Her name was Shirley Locker, and she reminded me that our daily disability challenges have rewards, rich rewards, for people like us who must consciously trust God for hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute, strength. God promises in Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, "Your strength will equal your days." And if that strength is coming from God, it will more than equal your needs, she said. The deep rut of our daily routines opens the door to deep satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. In fact, God invites us to know His satisfaction on a more profound level as our many weaknesses force us to go to Him for grace, especially during so-called boring hours when we feel that our life is on automatic. He knows that that is when we need Him the most. And so my groanings began to make room for God. My weakness began making room for Him to display His own invincible strength in my life. And Deuteronomy chapter 33 is true for you. A self-sufficient person will never experience the strength that God has for him. But Christians who see themselves as needy, we have an open door to deeper satisfaction in Christ. With my afflictions, I have 1,000 causes to confess my own weakness every day. And yes, I must even ask God for strength when other people brush my teeth. Life with a disability furnishes me with enough needs in a day that I'm always hearing Jesus say, "You're right, Johnny, without me, you can't do nothing." So, no matter how many same old routines are in your day, see each routine as making room for God's invincible grace-filled strength. And listen to this. His grace will make the routine feel different because His grace is fresh every morning. Lamentations 3 says His abundant mercies, His outpouring of grace is new every morning. Now that's what I call relief for a day filled of ordinary routines. So what parts of your day are routine? Putting away dishes, driving to the office, filing papers, memorizing formulas. Why not infuse each routine with life by inviting God to be a part of it? Because as your days, so your strength will be if you recognize your need of Jesus. That's something to remember when you brush your teeth tomorrow, and I'll be remembering it too.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come." When a child is born, that child will bear the characteristics of two people, his mom and his dad. He has their nature, he has their looks, his personality is shaped and influenced by what they brought to him through conception. In the same way, when you're born again and God becomes your father, you'll look like him, act like him, and live like him. You don't have to question whether or not a child comes from his mom and dad. He will bear their marks, and so will a child of God. If you've only been born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and you're going to die forever spiritually. Are you born again? I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water, it's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Leanna Crawford, "How Can You Not," right here on missionary radio.
That's a great song when you're talking about creation, as you look at what
mm-hmm.
God has created and placed around us. And as you've been saying, He did it just for us.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Put that setting there as you look. How can you not see God?
Exactly. Exactly. And we even talked about last week the fact that He created all that He created so that we could see Him in that creation. You know, Romans chapter 1, He's doing that so that we see Him. And so as He's creating this world and we're seeing these things being rolled out, there's the forming and then there's the filling. And so we've talked about the forming, and that was the forming of light and darkness, of air and water, of land, right? Those are the backdrops on the canvas. And now what He's going to do is He's going to fill it in with the characters of the story. Mm-hmm. And so, Joe, if you would you grab verse 14 and then read it on through? Let me go back. I'm sorry. Go ahead and do that. We don't have time to do what I want to do. So go ahead and do that.
And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning on the fourth day.
Okay. And then in verse 20, we get the water and the sky. So go ahead and read 20 there, brother.
And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And so God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good.
There is evening, morning, fifth day. So,
yeah, that's where the Jewish reckoning of time comes from.
Right.
You know, if they're considering when does the Sabbath begin, they go back to creation and say it begins in the evening.
That's correct. They have they actually have a lunar calendar. Mm-hmm. So their calendar is marked by the moon, not the sun. And so I think it's the Roman calendar that has moved us to a solar calendar. And so we're running on a Roman calendar, not the Jewish calendar. That's why Easter will move about, because it's based on Passover, which is based on the lunar calendar. And so the phases of the moon may vary from year to year.
Okay.
But in the Roman calendar, the sun, it does not vary. And so Christmas is always the same day. But Easter is not.
That's
one's
right.
Based on Roman calendar. The other's based on Jewish calendar, mm-hmm. or lunar calendar. So in the verses we've read, there in verse 14 down through verse 19, we have the creation of darkness and light now being filled with the sun, the moon, the stars. He's created this beautiful canvas, and the canvas has light in it.
I love that end of verse 16. Oh, he also made the stars.
That's right. And by the by.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think of it like him just taking his hands and flinging the stars into the constellations? You know, just a big wisp of motion, and then there they are. Or like C.S. Lewis.
He could have just spoke them into existence and said, let there be stars.
That's right. It was Aslan in C.S. Lewis' Chronicles of Narnia.
Yeah.
Aslan the lion is literally walking through this formless void of areas, and he's just speaking things into creation, and you're watching it emanate from his mouth. C.S. Lewis did such an amazing job of writing that in such a wonderful artistic fashion. But what he's done is he's created light and he's created dark, and he says, now I'm going to fill those areas with that which belongs there.
Mm-hmm.
The moon doesn't belong in the day, and the sun doesn't belong at night.
Mm-hmm.
He puts the things that belong where they belong. He says, I created this for you. This is the place you're supposed to be. Here you are. Then he creates basically sky and water. And he says, into the sky, I'm throwing the birds. Into the water, I'm throwing the fish, right? And penguins, they just got confused, okay? they're not sure how they ended up where they're supposed to be.
They're just trying to get their footing on the ice.
There you go.
They're like, we're not sure where we belong.
Joe's on it today.
But he says, you know, I've created this sky, and to the sky I've created these birds. We fly, but we are not built for just the sky.
Mm-hmm.
A bird is built just for the sky.
Yeah.
There's a heron that comes over to my pond, and he's as big as I am, but he does not try to square up with me. When I approach, he does one thing, and that's take to the air.
Yeah.
He says, what I do is I fly. I don't have arms and I don't have hands. I can't fist fight this guy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fly, because I know he can't get off the ground,
mm-hmm.
right? That's
mm-hmm.
where I belong, is in the air. That's what he says. And he's hit my pond because he knows that the fish can't get away.
Yeah.
The fish and the frogs, they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a place that they belong.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walks the water. knowing that he's going to find the fish. Mm-hmm. This is where fish belong. I could dive into that water and I could look at the fish for a moment, but I can't stay there because I don't breathe the water. They do. Mm-hmm. They pull the oxygen right out of it. I don't.
That's right.
And so what God did is he created the water and the sky, and he placed within it that which is adapted, created specifically for it. That's the backdrop. Let me make the character that fits the backdrop. And that's what God does. Now, what I was going to mention to us, and I'll do it in 20 seconds. In the first three verses, you have the forming of things or the environment of things. But on the third day, there's this caveat where there's an extra that's put in. So he created the land on the third day, but he also created the plants, which was extra. Mm-hmm. All the others, it was, well, here's the environment, and that's it. But on the third day, he creates the land, here's the environment. But then he says, and on that environment, I'm putting in plants, a little extra, a little something special mm-hmm. on the third day. Well, on the sixth day, because he filled things in the sky and the heavens on the fifth or the fourth, and on the fifth day, he's created the birds and the fish and filled the seas. He now is going to fill the land, and he's going to do it the same way he always has, which is the land's going to produce all the living creatures according to their kind, livestock, creatures, and things that move along the ground. So he's creating all the animals. However, in verse 26, there's an extra. So on the third day, there's an extra. Mm-hmm. On the sixth day, there's a serious extra. And that is in verses 26, going down there through verse 27. Go ahead and read those for me, Joe.
Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them.
Awesome. So we don't have time to delve too far into this. However, here's the one thing I want to state, and that is that when he goes to create on the third day, he throws in an extra, that which is specially suited for the environment in which it's placed, okay? And then he fills everything else. But on the sixth day, the extra is not fit for the environment in which it's set. Mm. It's actually made for the environment of all things. We were made to engage the sun. We were made to engage the stars. We were made to engage the sky and the waters and the land. We were made for all of it. That's why he says he has dominion. And why were we made for that? Because the backdrop of our life isn't the sky, the water, or the land. The backdrop of our life is God. He's the backdrop of our life. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image." We were made to be like him. Not God's, but to be like him. So what does that mean practically? Let me finish with this. It means that God's never going to place you in a spot that he hasn't prepared for you. You're not going to walk into a thing today that God hasn't seen coming and hasn't prepared the way for you to arrive. There is nothing that you're going to see today that God can't walk with you through. You were made in his image. And so he's created the backdrop, and he's about to draw you in. But he's not going to put you where you don't belong. So fear not. Walk with him and walk in his strength.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.